Blog Talk Radio.
Today is a sad day for my family because those of you who know me personally know that I have an aunt in Brooklyn who is like my mother, and she lost her husband, Uncle Ivan, at 2 o'clock this morning. So it is a sad morning for us, but they had a wonderful life. They were married for 54 years. So just keep our family in your prayers today. I just want to ask you to do that. And I have two of my friends. As a matter of fact, I think today we could really, if we needed to put a tag on, we could tag today's show as DC area show because both my guests is from the DC area. On the first segment, we will have Mrs. Odessa Hopkins on. And Odessa and I met a few years ago at the Fraser Network Conference in Cleveland, Ohio. And another friend that I met also at the FraserNet conference, the very first year the conference was put on, and that person is Dr. Etook, also from the D.C. area. So he's on at the 11 o'clock segment. So I'm waiting on Odessa to call in. I want to remind you that the number to call during the show is 646-915-8166. And we will take your question, your comments, your remarks, whatever it is. We want to just encourage you to be very active in this morning's dialogue. Odessa is doing a marvelous job in the D.C. area. And I know that for those of you who has her company has benefited, she is such an advocate for relationships and all of that. So I'm waiting to get her to call in. Odessa, if you're listening, the number to call is 646-915-8166. And while we wait on her, I want to remind you that we are also now on Sundays at 7 p.m. And that segment of the A New Day show focuses on life issues around overcoming adversities. And we have found out that there are lots of amazing stories out there of people who overcame tremendous adversities to their personal empowerment and success. So the Lord has placed it on my spirit to put a Sunday evening show on where we can share those stories with you, which will help to fuel you towards your empowerment to unsuccess. I want to welcome guests 3416. Thank you for coming. I'm waiting on my first guest to call in, and my first guest for today's show is Mrs. Odasa Hopkins out of the D.C. area. So I thank you for joining me, and I ask you to just be patient with me as we wait on Odasa to call in. And, you know, this, everybody who is of any importance whatsoever, everyone is speaking about the tremendous impact that 2011 will have on our lives. And I strongly believe that. But in order for us to really benefit and manifest those impacts, we will need to take action. And we just need to be conscious of what it is we are looking to attract in our lives. The one thing I know is that this is our season, and we need to just be focused on the things that we are looking for in our lives, because we have the power to attract all the abundance we need in our lives. I mean, the economy, the government, all the issues that we are surrounded with has absolutely nothing to do. We can create. I was speaking with my a friend and colleague out of Canton, Ohio, 2 weeks ago, and she said, you know, Daphne, I was seeking the Lord and asking the Lord what it is that I need to do in 2011 for my business. And she said, as clear as I am speaking to you now, the Lord said to me, you have everything that you need. Everything that you need. And she said, I said, oh my Lord, it is so true. I have everything that I need. And it is so true. We have everything we need to be successful, yet we keep going around and chasing our shadows and complaining about situations that prevents us from really tapping into what we can do. So as we wait on Odasa, I want to welcome Computer and Web Guy back. Thank you for coming back, my brother. I know you came last week and you're here. Guest 3457, guest 3480, thank you for coming. We are waiting on my guest. My first guest is Odasa Hopkins. I'm waiting on her to call in. My second guest will be Dr. Etook. I just text Odasa, and I'm hoping to hear from her as soon as possible. So I was just filling the time up and to talk about us having the power to attract all the abundance that we need. We understand that we will need to change some of our habits and practices. I myself found a lot of value when I spend quiet time and I journal, and a lot of powerful insights are manifested to me during those times. But I have also encountered numerous numbers of adults who are so frightened quiet time. And, you know, unless we can be still and impact ourselves, we are not in a situation to impact others. So we need to just focus on creating the abundance that we need. So I am calling Miss Adasa now, so I hope I get her. And I know she's an extremely busy lady. I did send her the reminder that she's on the show this morning. So I am calling her cell phone. I have not heard any answer yet. So I if you are the guest that. Adasa, it's Dynamic Daphne from the A New Day Show. We are waiting on you to call in. Would you call us, please? It is 646-915-8166. We are here waiting to hear from your dynamic, for your dynamic input. So please call us, 646-915-8166. We are here on the A New Day Show. So I've texted, I have made a phone call. So in the meantime, for those of you who are listening and are in the chat room, if you want to call in the meantime and tell the listeners some of the things that you have made a decision to do, differently. I just want to take a break. This is Adasa calling me back. Good morning, Miss Adasa. I'm on the air and we are waiting on you to call in. Okay, I'm on the air, so I really don't have time for the conversation because I'm a one person and I'm on the air, so I don't know. Are you calling in or are you not calling in? Okay. All right, so 646-915-8166, okay? No. You call my cell phone. You're supposed to be calling. All right, thank you. 646-915-8166. Okay, sorry, guess it's you know how technology is. So she is calling in. So Mr. Web Guy from Ohio, what are some things that you're doing differently in 2011 to impact your business? So if you want to share that, just let me know. And we will just discuss that until my guests call in. calls in. Well, thank God she's on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, my sister?
I am so fine, Dr. Daphne. And let me just start out by apologizing to your listeners. I am waking up sick this morning and just lost track of time. I'm thinking,
yes.
Oh, I need a cold medicine. And I thought about you and your show and your listeners. And I'm so glad to be here, no matter I sound.
Thank you. And listen, no sickness or no cold cannot take that dynamic out of you. And I was saying at the top of the hour that if I had to put a label on today's show, I could well label it the D.C. area show, because both my guests is from the D.C. area. I don't know if you remember Dr. Etook.
Dr. No, I don't. I absolutely don't. I was reading about him.
Okay,
fantastic.
I will have to introduce you both, because he's another friend I met at the Power Networking Conference, at the very first conference that George put on. And I was telling the listeners that was where I have met you since that first introduction at breakfast at the, I think we were at the Hyatt Hotel. So much has transpired in your life since that day. And we don't want to spend any time talking about when we met and all of that. We just want to go into the meat of what you are doing. So I'm sure there's nobody that don't know about you. But just in case we have somebody on who is listening for the first time, would you please tell my listeners who Odessa Hopkins is?
Well, Odessa Hopkins is an advocate and a promoter of small and minority business owners. We started out basically just helping people get their information out there, small businesses at expos and at networking events. And I was just called to do that by the business owners themselves. And I just started out doing that, and that also developed into contracting opportunities. I have almost a 20-year history of on-site contracting, and that opened up into giving me opportunities to help business owners get contracting opportunities as well. So we're big diversity consultants right now for the Kaiser Permanente project in Maryland and Virginia as well. And we're just helping business owners get contracts on construction jobs and other areas of business. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, it's a great opportunity. We've been around for 4 years. We're still babies. But
mm-hmm.
so much, as you know, has happened since then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, but prior, we talk about just your company being 4 years old. Prior to what you're doing now, what was your field of expertise?
Well, my field of expertise, for one thing, is an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur since about 1989.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not coming into this new. My company, this another Approach Enterprises, is
mm-hmm.
only 4 years old. But I started a company way back then,
mm-hmm.
which was ECS, Executive
mm-hmm.
Client Services.
Mm-hmm.
And for 8.5 years,
mm-hmm.
I also had a company on the side all during the time while I was
mm-hmm.
on-site contracting.
Mm-hmm.
I also had a company in the evening that
mm-hmm.
was geared towards teaching girls and young women self-confidence and self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I did that throughout the Washington metropolitan
mm-hmm.
region
mm-hmm.
For 8.5 years. So I'm not new to the business arena, so I have a lot
right.
of background in that.
Right.
And then the contracting.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I have observed about you from the very first encounter we had at that breakfast, I don't know if you remember, but there has been one thing that I admired about you then, and that has grown consistently in what you do over the years, is your passion for relationships.
Yes.
I noted you, when you are in the company of others, it does not matter how many people is there, you give each person your undivided attention. I noticed that about you at that breakfast we had, and in your professional life as I read about the things that you are doing. That's the same thing I'm reading about you. Why do you feel that relationships are so important as an entrepreneur?
Well, you know, when I started as an entrepreneur in the very beginning years ago, I didn't have a support system. I didn't have people who were reaching out to me, who was giving me information, who were guiding me a little bit, or giving me pointers, introducing me to people, telling me the tips of how they failed and why and how they started back and renewed. So I didn't have any of that. So when I started in other approach enterprises and businesses, started coming up to me asking me information, I saw a very, very big need. And I'm a relationship person anyway. It's in me. I don't think you can teach somebody that. I think
exactly.
It has to already be in them. And so that was already in me anyway. So it was a natural ability for me to do that, to hold people by the hand and say, look, this is what I did. Don't get a big old office to start out with. Get a P.O. box, a UPS. Call it a suite number because they allow you to do that, and bam, you have a business presence, and it's a professional one at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing that, Daphne, and it just blossomed into becoming an advocate. I just saw the need, and I'm a person, when I see a need that I can fulfill,
mm-hmm.
I just instinctively do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, as a coach, an empowerment specialist, this is one of the areas that I concentrate on deeply in my clients, and can they understand the importance of authenticity? Because you knew from your the core of your being that you're a people person. You were born to help others. You were created to take a person by the hand and to lead them to greatness. And you didn't look to your right or to your left. You wasn't looking on what I'm doing, what Peggy's doing, and what all the other powerful people in your era is doing. You knew what you were called to do.
Right.
And you just went out there and do it. And that's what we need to concentrate on as entrepreneur. What is authentic? What is authentic about us that we need to do? Everybody keep watching the next person and losing track of what they need to do for themselves.
Yeah, you're so right. You hit it right on the point, too, because what I always tell people, I always tell people, what's meant for you is meant for you, and no one else can take that from you.
That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
If you believe in that wholeheartedly, that what God has for you, no man can take, then you will not have the fear, and you will not have to look to your left, as you say, and to your right, as too many people are doing, because that's time that you're wasting to take advantage of what's meant for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that I love about Peggy, a Sisters with Sisters Network, my dear and darling sister. You know, she reaches out to everyone, even if you're a similar organization, different organization, another photographer. She's a photographer, and yet she has two or three other phenomenal photographers there with her almost every time.
That That's right.
shows
That's
you
right.
what you're supposed to be doing. Her
exactly.
photography, nobody can take.
That's
how
right.
I feel, just like you.
Exactly, because, you know, years ago I met a woman at a chamber meeting here in my town, and she asked what I did, and I told her, and she said, oh, you like Les Brown? I said, no, it so happens, it happens that Les is an inspirational speaker, and so am I. I said, I'm not going out there trying to do Les, and I said, I am sure Les is not trying to do me, because I'm authentic in what
That's
I
right.
do. You know, ain't nobody
Absolutely.
Have that sunny disposition and this Jamaican spice in me. Nobody is able to touch my client as musical as I do that. So I'm not going
right.
around watching the other speakers. I'm just looking to serve them authentically. You
yeah,
know,
and you are, and you are very authentic. I've heard Les Brown speak many, many, many times, and he's phenomenal,
yes.
but no it's one can speak like Dr. Daphne does. Daphne has her own voice, her own vision,
exactly.
her own way of touching people, of bringing stuff out of you like you're doing with me today. Nobody
that's,
can do what you do.
That's right. And, you know, Les is someone I respect and love dearly. I joke Lenny all the time. I talk with him. I said, remember, I know you from you were writing on your recording because you didn't have any money to type labels. So you were writing on that. And it's such an inspiration for me to watch him grow. When I used to be a Mary Kay consultant and he came and spoke for us, the only pay we could give him is what we all put in a little hat to give him. And he gave us all the inspiration as well there in New York, in Rochdale or in Freeport. And he was on his merry way. And now we look at what he's doing. So it's enough to tell me if we are persistent and keep doing what we are called to do, we will hit greatness. I want to welcome Inspired Lady and Ambassador Tech Guy. You are on the line. If you want to say something, just raise your hand and I will put you live. So I want to thank all the people who are listening and those who are in the chat room. You can feel free to call in. The number is 646-915. If you have some words of encouragement for Lady O, you call up. If you personally have gained advantage from her company and her expertise, we want to hear about that, because too often our people keep their lips sealed and are afraid to give accolades and praise to the people who serve us. I encourage you to do that if you have an experience you would like to share. So, what are some of the areas you think that entrepreneurs need to take a different approach in during this 2011 year of abundance?
Well, I think they need to claim their glory. You know, I really think that they need to stop holding back. They need to stop whining and start acting. Mm-hmm. And I say that because we all have challenges.
Oh, yes.
Don't bring your challenges out to networking events with you. That's my number one concern is that whenever we have challenges, we wear them on the sleeves. Don't wear them on your sleeves and bring them out. Leave them at home. Leave them at home. When you come out, you do not want to look or sound desperate. People don't like to do business with desperate people because they feel like they're going to waste their time, their energy, and probably their money, and oftentimes they will. So you don't want to sound desperate. You want to sound motivated. That's what you want to sound.
Mm-hmm.
People like energetic people. Don't come out and bring your problems. People don't want to hear your problems. They want to hear how you can solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the kinds of things. Daphne, I'm from New York. I'm from Harlem. I was born and raised in Harlem, born in Harlem Hospital. And so, you know, if anybody has seen challenges, it has been me. Everything that you know of Harlem and have heard about it, I've done. I've been there. I've had ups, downs, bumps, bruises, and everything in between. Whatever you can think of Harlem, you can think of me. You just can't see it because I don't live it.
You have overcome. You have
overcome.
Because,
absolutely.
You know, I tell people to begin to dissect your adversities and see the lessons in there, because if you peel the onion back far enough, you are going to find what you need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And as you rightfully say, people don't want to be around people with problems. And I tell them the other thing, people don't want to be around people who is just looking in their pocketbooks to take their money out of. So if we concentrate on letting people know how we add value to what they are doing, they are going to be so connected to us. They're going to pay us any amount that we deserve for the service. But a lot of people go out there so desperate, as you say, and they think money, 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 money. And the more you call it out, is the more it runs from you. Instead of you go out and say, I want to make a difference in Daphne's life today, in Daphne's children and Daphne's community, you can't peel Daphne away from you because you have touched the core of what people believe in. So go around adding value. So I thank you for affirming those things this morning.
Absolutely. You know, people just need to, sometimes you need to hear that. There's one woman who comes out to networking. Every time when she comes out, She's promoting her business and promoting her, her services and her products, but she's complaining the entire time that she's, you know, handing stuff out and talking to people. And, you know, I said to my husband one day, because he was there one time when that was happening, he says, why is she doing that? Why does she complain while she's handing out her stuff? Because that's kind of a put-off. And I said, yeah,
exactly.
You know what? It really, really is. And, you know, we obviously have not talked to her. I don't know her well enough to talk to her. But I wish that some friend, and that's what I do when I start talking to people, I start telling them what's truly in my heart that I feel can actually help them once they gain a relationship with me and they gain that trust in me for me to be able to actually tell them that. And so I actually then do that and tell them what I feel can help. You know, so let's grab a sister, let's grab a brother. And when we hear something or when we see something, if they trust you and they believe in you, take them by the hand. Take them into a corner, invite them to coffee.
That's
and
right.
And sit down.
That's
don't talk to them. Don't talk about them behind their back and how what they're doing. Try to help them. Give some. I tell people that all the time. If you can't offer somebody some advice in a cordial way, just keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself.
That's right. And, you know, we have to learn to take people lovingly.
Yes.
You know, it, because in this time when people really don't, with this touch and all that thing, but you can say to somebody, Daphne, can you just walk with me over here? And because sometimes if you allow them to do the thing they are doing one more time, it's not only going to be detrimental to them, but also to your organization. So you got to know how to tell people something from your heart, not from your head, but tell them lovingly. For example, this past Sunday, I was speaking to an amazing woman at my church. I asked her a simple question, and she gave me the reply, but so loudly. And I remember the week before, she said to me she wanted to be on my show. And she was going on and on and on. And when she walked off, somebody who was standing in my presence says, she going to have to know if she come on your show, she going to have to give you time to talk. And I smiled. I didn't say anything. I didn't say good or bad. I just smiled. And I figure I will need to let this lady know to slow down. And this Sunday was the perfect opportunity because I asked her a question about they had gone to a restaurant the night before. And I said something to her and about the dessert sticking to their hips and all of that stuff. So she told me she bought some cannolis back because it was an Italian restaurant in the city. And she gave it to the pastor. So I said to her, well, why did you bring it for the pastor? And as loud as she could be, Dasa, she was giving me the answer. And I asked her why she was yelling. And she said, no, I'm not yelling. The music is loud. I said, no, you are yelling, and I don't think you know. And then she looked surprised when I said that. But then I guess she caught her spirit, and she came back and said, thanks for correcting me. I said, no, I did not correct you. I was just helping you because I don't think you know how loudly it sounded. And we got to know how to do things lovingly, you know, because she saw it as a correction and I didn't see it as a correction. To me, it was a support because I'm thinking how many people is going around saying how loud is she always talking without bringing it to her attention. It's like a smoker. The people say that people who smoke, they don't know they walk around with the odor of smoke on them. But a non-smoker, you could go in the elevator and it's 7 hours ago somebody was in there smoking, you know. And it's the same thing in relationships. We got to help people to become their best.
We have to get to know them. You don't know you don't know. And you know, it's funny. I'll tell you something that you just pointed on when you just hit on when you were talking about the young lady. You're absolutely right because my mother spoke very, very loudly. She always talked about how she never needed a microphone to talk because it was just naturally loud. Well, because she talks so loud, and then in my family, we talk so loud because we were talking to or over her because she couldn't hear us. And then it wasn't until her later years that I asked her, I said, well, Mom, why don't you and now us talk so loud? She said, well, sweetie, I'm deaf in one ear. I had
you
no
see what I mean?
Idea. No
Isn't
idea
that
all
something?
Of those years. And that's why she talked so loud, because she could not hear herself. And instinctively, we did. So we all have to actually learn how to tone down a little bit. She was deaf. So if you don't talk to somebody, if
you
don't communicate with somebody, you don't know what
that's
their story is. Sometimes there's a reason for what they do.
Yes, and if the family knew, they wouldn't have her straining her vocal cord.
That's
they would
right.
go get her a hearing aid so she
exactly.
could be with everybody else. But as you say, if we don't ask, we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
When I was teaching social etiquette in workshops, as I told you, and my mother came to one of my sessions. She was one of my biggest teachers because, as I said, we grew up poor in Harlem, and there's just a lot of things that you were not taught and you were not around.
That's right.
So I gave one of my workshops to women, and my mother came, and I was doing a dining etiquette, table setting, and then showing them how, you know, for holidays and if you go to an event, which side the salads are on, which side the beverages are on. And my mother, when we were doing the placement of the utensils, she looked at the table, and when we did the setting, she says, "Wow, I never knew that." I said, "You never knew how to set a table, Mom?" And she says, "No, why do you think every Thanksgiving all I did was I put all of the silverware right in the middle of the table and told everybody to go ahead and get your silverware?" She says, "Because I was embarrassed. I never knew or was taught how to set a table." You
that
see, so if
powerful.
You don't communicate, you don't know.
Don't know. That is powerful. Yet, you could have spend the rest of your life piling those silverwares in the middle of the table because that was what you knew. But you
Absolutely.
Went out in search of greater things. So
I
tell people all the time, it's not where we begin, but where we finish that is important. I want to welcome guest 4027. And listen, guys, we want to hear from you. So give us a call if you're at work, to whisper. We will listen, but we want to hear from you. Let us hear from you. 646-915-8166. This is Dynamic Daphne in Conversation with Lady O. So, government contracts.
Yes.
What are some of the things you think that entrepreneurs are missing out on in taking advantage of government contracts?
Being prepared. They're just not prepared, especially the small business owners. We do not have the same resources that larger companies have.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that the least things that we need, we have to make sure that we have. And I'll tell you what some of those are. An email address that works, not a Gmail account, not a Yahoo account, but one that is representative of your company. A domain website. Mine is anotherapproach.com. My email is aae@anotherapproach.com. An email that represents your company, an address that represents your company. When someone calls your company trying to give you business, they need to either reach someone or you. Pay a couple of dollars, get an answering service. You have to be representing your company. Also, capability statement. I don't care if it's a government contract or private or local or state contract, you have to have a capability statement. That capability statement is a one-page document, two as it lists references, and it tells what you do, what you have done, what your certifications are. That's it. So there's no reason why you shouldn't have one. You do it yourself. Look online. Clark has one. Turner has one. You know, all of the federal agency companies have one. So look at their site. Look at their capability statement and do your own or have someone who can do a professional job do it for you. Website. This is the 21st century. There's no reason why you shouldn't have a website. If you're a contractor, 3 pages will do. What you do, your capability statement, how they can contact you. It's real simple. Okay, so these are the things that small companies can do in order to compete with not large companies, because you're not there yet. So don't try to be there, okay? You have to crawl before you can walk. So these are things that you can do in order for a larger company to look at you and say, you know what, let me give that company a chance to do business with me. Mm-hmm. And because they look professional, maybe I'll bring them under my wing as either a mentee or mm-hmm. as either a subcontractor. That's how you get in the door. Basic mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I just want to just go over what you just said. Email address that works, that represent your company, a domain name representing your company, an answering service if you are not able to answer your phone yourself, a capability statement, which is a one-page document, and you can get templates from Turner or some government agency, and, of course, a website.
Absolutely. That's right. It's really, really easy. I always tell people to go to Clark's website, Clark Instructions website, or
okay.
Turner's website, because they have them on their website. So don't try to do what the big guys do. You know, when big guys, what I've learned, and especially as a diversity consultant for Kaiser Permanente, one of the things I learned in looking at the big proposals is of the big guys is that small companies can't afford to do those big proposals. Those big proposals, they have in-house people who do them for them, number one. And
right.
those who go outside, they pay about $9,000 to have one proposal done sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
don't have that kind of resources. So
that's right.
you can't compete on certain levels. You have to come in where you can come in, get
mm-hmm.
your feet wet, build some resources
that's right.
and some revenue and go from mm-hmm. there.
Exactly. Because if you're good at baking red velvet cake, there's absolutely no reason why you have to be doing carrot and coconut. Just stick.
I love it.
Stick to what you know and make the
that's
best
right.
red velvet cake so that somebody else can enjoy your cake. And who bake coconut cake, sell coconut cake. Would you please repeat those websites where they can find the capability statement?
Absolutely. You know, you can go to Clark. Clark's website is probably clark.com. Turner's website is probably turnerconstruction.com. Or you can Google them. Google Clark. Clark Construction. Google Turner Construction, the big ones, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
All
Google
right.
those. Also, you can just Google capability statement. And I'm
mm-hmm.
sure you'll get a template.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, if you all didn't get anything else out the show, just this alone is enough to set you up into moving forward this year. Because there's a lot of things that we will need to do differently this year, because this is a year of abundance and magnificent,
mm-hmm.
and we all need to claim ours, because, you know, there is no lack in the kingdom. There's only luck because we don't take and claim what is ours. And all of us need to just go out there and just claim what ours and just utilize and manifest the greatness that God has called us to do. Now, another perspective, another approach.
Yes. Another approach, you know, we're actually getting ready to launch something nice and big for particularly small companies, owners, CEOs, executives, and professionals. And although I can't give you all of that right now, I can tell you that it's a place that you will want to come to do business. That's the whole thing that we're building around, is a place for people to come to do business professionally, because once again, you don't have the resources oftentimes to go elsewhere. So, you know, I just want to tell people to make sure that you're doing professional things. Take another approach to things. Don't reinvent the wheel. Grab a hold of something. I grabbed a hold of marketing, of advertising, of promoting, of diversity consulting, and I just put a little twist on it. I did another approach, and it's been working. So take something that you know about. I know about people. I know about relationships. I know how to build them. I know how to hold on to them, and I know how to help them help me. So
well, I am praying that this year, I know too many people in Washington not to get invited to some of those elite events. So I just hope whatever is going to be launched, that I will be privileged to be rubbing shoulders with the big boys.
Oh, absolutely. The big boys, the little boys, you know.
I love the way
you say that, rubbing shoulders with the big boys. We created the gala to do that, and it was amazing how well people came out to do that. You will absolutely get one of the first invitations to our open house of launching our new venue. Absolutely. Love you dearly.
I am just so excited about the work you are doing. And, you know, you are a woman that I have admired from the first day we have met. And although we tried for a while to get you on the show, it didn't work out. I know that this was the perfect time for you to be on, for people to know how in this January month to get their houses in order. Mm-hmm. So that next year they can be on the show telling others what this segment has done for them. So we have a limited amount of time leaving in this remaining in this first segment, but we are going to continue until the other guest calls in. So what I want to ask you to do, I'm also going to ask you to give your contact information out, but if you would create a list, an operational list for the entrepreneurs to use as a guiding post to implement this plan that will give them a more professional light in everything that they do, what would this list look like?
The list would look like this, okay? It would have an operating functional voicemail system, a company voicemail system, and I'm even going to put on the list where they should go to get that. Gotvmail.com. I get
what
all kinds of compliments.
Will you say it again?
Sure. Gotvmail.com. GOTVMAIL.com. They can go there and get a voicemail system, a fax system, everything that they need except that live voice. But they can have it forwarded, their phone forwarded to wherever they are so that they can answer their phone. So you get the prompts, dial one for this, two for this, three for this, follow system. So that's gotvmail.com. That costs, get this, between $10 and $15 per month.
Oh, my
that's
God.
It
doesn't get any better than that.
Best kept secret. I get more compliments on that one. They call me
all
the time and tell me. Okay,
wonderful,
so
wonderful.
That's one of them. The other thing is UPS store. Go to the UPS store. If you don't have your own office and you're still using a P.O. box on your business card, scratch that. That's old way of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the UPS store and get a P.O. box because you are allowed to use the UPS store's P.O. box as a suite number, as a suite number. So you will have an address, a suite so-and-so-and-so, and a city and state on your business card. You can't get any better than that. No one
That's
has
right.
to know all of your business. They don't need
That's
to
right.
know how you're doing, setting up your business. They just
People only
know
what you tell them. Yep.
Exactly. That's right. So those are two of the best-kept secrets. The other one is, of course, a website. Look around. You can get websites now that will cost you. If you only need a couple of pages, you should only be spending a couple of $100. And we're talking, you know, don't go to get a free website. GoDaddy and all of that stuff. That's wonderful if you use your domain, your own domain, and have someone prepare it for you. If you're not a web developer, don't develop your website.
That's right. That's
it's really that simple. No matter how good you think it looks, you're not a web developer, and it doesn't look as good as you think it does.
Exactly. Okay? And people be cutting their noses to spite their faces.
Yes, to save a couple of dollars. You have to spend money to make money. There's
That's
no
right.
way to get around it.
That's
no
right.
way to get around it.
That's right.
Okay? Those are some of the big ones right there. Come out to networking events. To build relationships, you have to touch people. You have
That's
to
right.
meet people. You have to get to know people. That's called networking. It's called networking. And don't flash your card and tell all about yourself and your company without listening to the other person.
To the other person.
And I always tell them, find out what the other person wants first, because then you will know what value you can bring to them. If all you're doing is telling them what you do and how you do it, you have no idea what they want.
That's right. I mean, there is a listener in the chat room who is a web designer. He just typed, "That's right." So I'm telling him, I know he would love that.
Absolutely. And they should put his information in there so that those people who are listening saying, "Oh, my God, I need a website."
That's right.
So they can
contact
him. Absolutely.
That's right. So you heard her, computer and web guy. Put your address in the chat room so the others can see it and we can start to doing business with each other, because this is what networking is about, you know, keeping it in the family and supporting each other and working our net. We, as a people, we have not been working our net effectively, and right. we need to begin to do that. Would you please give, one more, I want to ask you this question. Is your organization open to people outside the greater D.C. area, or it is specifically geared to local businesses?
No, absolutely not. We are open to anyone who would like to participate or who need assistance.
Okay.
We have strategic partners all over the place.
All right. Okay, so you are the gentleman. And so I don't know if you want to. Do you want to say something? You're also on your computer and you're on the phone. I'm going to put you on the air and see if you want to say something, Mr. Computer Guy. So. it's so funny. Mr. Computer Guy, do you want to say something? I notice you're on the phone and also on your computer.
Yes, I'll say something.
Okay, just tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Okay, you have, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, loud and clear. Loud and clear.
Good morning. I can't hear myself, so I didn't know if you can hear me or not.
Yeah, we're hearing you. You got to go back to listen to the archive later on to hear yourself.
Okay. Well, good morning to both of you, and I've enjoyed listening to you. I had a customer in. They brought a computer in. Basically, what we do is computer repair, but we also do graphic design and website design, and you can see some of our website design, what we have done, at ambastec.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we do custom websites here. Mm-hmm. For our customers. So we'll do them from scratch, or we'll redo your computer. And the price range is about right, what you said. Well, it might be a little bit more per page, but, again, we do custom websites, and we tailor them to our customer and exactly their needs and what they want.
Right.
But I've enjoyed what you have to say. It's an encouraging.
Thank you.
One of the things that you said is you didn't like people to be complaining while they're giving out their cards. I thought that was funny, but I thought about it. I said, I probably have done the same thing or didn't seem to be as enthusiastic about my own business, because that part of me, I have to develop the salesman in me. The creative side is there by nature, but the salesman side, I have to develop that. I've got to sound enthused. I got to be able to go out. But I'm more.
Where are you located?
I'm in northeastern Ohio, Youngstown, Ohio.
Okay. Well, you know what? I don't know if Shay Brown reaches that far. But you may want to go on to this website, Partners in Learning, and contact Shay Brown and see if he actually, he has webinars too. So maybe talk to him, because he is an expert at bringing that out of people. And he's always enthusiastic.
And what's his name, Shay Brown?
Wonderful.
Shay Brown, Partners in Learning.
Partners in Learning, Shay Brown.
Okay. I know one thing I've learned, that once I talk to prospective clients or people, the way they come in when I first see them and the way they leave is different.
Wow.
So they do want to see or the owner or the person that's in charge.
That's right.
And they also, you know, they're impressed because I can talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever they have in mind, they just seem to be stunned. I don't know.
And
but I don't have a love for sales. Is the thing.
You know something? I don't even think you need to worry about that, because what is happening, you're adding value to those people.
Yes.
You're solving their problems. So forget about the sale.
Uh-huh.
Concentrate on adding value to each and every one that comes in that door.
That's good.
Find out what their problems are, and you create a solution for that problem.
Okay.
You don't have
to
worry
like
about sales.
That.
That's right.
And you're right.
Right.
You know
yeah,
what?
You sound like you're doing that already. The part that you said that you mentioned earlier about that is the only part that I'm talking about. The part when you say that when you go out, that you find yourself doing that a little bit, maybe complaining, not bringing out the best in your company. And I think that's probably where Shea Brown can come in. But you sound like when they come in to see you in your shop, in your own area, in your domain, they leave out of there, just as Daphne said, with value added. And
so
you sound like you're doing what's right in your shop. You just need to bring that out when you come out of the shop.
You're exactly right. We do give value added. People have said, we have people that come back and just sit in our office, and we call them friends of ambassador.
Wonderful.
And these are people that have been customers, but they come back and just sit, and we talk about politics, issues, everything.
Relationships.
That's exactly right.
That's
something I've always wanted to do, because if you ever bought a car, and I've had this happen where I've bought cars, and you go up to a salesman, and he is so nice to you. He can do everything, and he'll do everything in the world for you before you buy that car.
Mm-hmm.
After you buy the car, you go back up there, you almost see the salesman running away from you.
From you, because he thinks you're coming with the
have
company.
Nothing to do with you. That's one thing we do offer is value added.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for coming. I know last week you came for the very first time, so I count it a privilege that you have returned. I want you to go there, mark my show favorite, become a friend, and send others to the show so that I can know how well I'm doing. Leave a comment and a remark as well, and I just want to encourage you to continue doing God's work.
Well, I appreciate that. I'd like to say one other thing. I enjoy your show. I'm going to try to get in here as much as I can.
Thank you.
Also, we're thinking about coming to Blog Talk with the show. Actually, there's a show here, but I'm also thinking about doing some things, internet television sometime this year, where we're going to add technology and a few other programs. So I'm trying to listen to the pros and see how they do it. But I enjoy your shows and enjoy your guests that you had on.
All right. Thank you so much, and you have a blessed day. Okay, we had one more person. You all need to be patient. They hang up, but that's all right. So I would like for you to give your contact information, my sister, and...
Yeah.
And then just summarize your thought for today after that, please.
Oh, sure. Okay. It's Odessa Hopkins, and it's Another Approach Enterprises. And our website is anotherapproach.com. That's anotherapproach.com. You can call us toll-free, 1-877-433-3810. That's 1-877-433-3810. If you're in the Washington metro area, you can also call 202-756-4865. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to you, Dr. Daphne, and as well as your listeners, those who called in and logged in, because you are the true winners of 2011. 2011.
Oh.
You're making it happen. You're listening. You're giving feedback. You're giving input, and you're learning. And that's what 2011 is going to be all about. We're going to inspire people, motivate people. But more importantly, Dr. Daphne, we're going to move our folks forward.
That's right, because we need to just move forward. So I have one more caller. Let me see if the person has something to say. Caller, your last four digits are 2392, would you state your name and where you're calling from and your question, please?
I don't have a question. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Ito. Okay, I will have you on momentarily. I want to take this opportunity to introduce you to Mrs. Odessa Hopkins. You are both in the same area, and you need to connect to each other. Odessa,
good morning.
Dr. Ito.
Good morning. I've been listening to you. I've been listening for 20 minutes.
Wow, thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, Ms. Odessa, would you just give your closing statement? How, if there were two or three things you want
the listeners to remember from our dialogue today, what would those things be?
Sure. I want, number one, I want those who dialed in late to go back and listen to the archive, because I think you and I touched on so many different areas and topics that are truly, truly important and valuable for people to actually do in moving their businesses on to the next level, or just starting a business in general as well. Start off on the right foot, and when you start running, you won't trip up. And so I just want to tell people to go back and listen, because all of the pointers that they need to know is actually right there in that archive. Build your business. Don't be afraid. Don't have the fear, or at least if you have the fear, don't allow it to keep you from doing what you're called to do.
All right. So I just want to thank you. I want to encourage you to continue to do the magnificent work that you are doing. I got to make a personal confession that I am so happy to know that your organization is open to people outside of the D.C. area. So we have not, because we ask not, and we will need to go in and utilize the services that you have. I want you to know that I'm here to serve you and to add value. So whatever you think that I can do to add value to what you are doing, I want you to reach out to me. So
thank you, Dr. Daphne. Same here. I'm open, willing. We are now connected. Thank you. And I'm going to keep listening into the show.
Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Dr.
Etook, you're live on the air. So, Dr. Etook, you're live on the air. So,
yes.
You are on the air. So, that That distraction I'm hearing. Okay, I think I know. That was not you. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I've been listening for 20 minutes. I like what you're doing.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. I know that we've been trying for a while to get you on the show, so I'm very excited that you are on. You are a magnificent person doing a lot of wonderful things. I remember years ago when I met you at the Power Networking Conference in Cleveland, Ohio. And we have developed a wonderful friendship. We don't talk regularly, but whenever we get on the phone or on email, it is like our friendship has never severed or separated. And you are one person who is always encouraging me, and I want to thank you for your friendship and also for your encouragement.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
And with that being said, I want you to please take a few moments to introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell them who you are and your humble beginnings.
Well, I give thanks to God for everything. Mm-hmm. I come from a very humble beginning in Nigeria, in the southern part of the country. And I left Nigeria about 30 years ago on a pilgrimage to study here. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, I have been able to do my studying. I'm a historian by professional training, and I'm an award-winning author of 12 books. Next month, I'll have my 13th book. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of writing and speaking and motivation and trying to see how I can add what you call value to the human situation.
You know, 13 books, and I think you're working on 3 now, so that's going to make it 16 books. I'm not good at math, but I think that's
simply
enough for me to calculate.
Yes, this year, by the grace of God, I will have 2 more books added to the list. Last year, I released 2 books. One of it was on writing. I felt it was time to share with the younger people how I have tried to use writing to empower myself and others. And the book was titled A Splendid Ecstasy, The Thrills and Trials and Joys of Authorship. Mm-hmm. And then I brought out another book on Audacity of Faith, in which I tried to show how faith is necessary to success. Mm-hmm. You can't really move on without some element of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So this year I will be bringing out another...
Hold on. Let's, because we don't want to just get into the conversation of the books, because people are not going to connect with that. Because there are many people out there who are thinking, I've been writing all my life, I haven't published a book yet, this gentleman has done 13. So we want to give them a plan, because the focus of this show is to inform the listeners, educate them, inspire them, and empower them.
Exactly.
So we want to show people. We're not telling them to go for 13 books. But want to give them a little plan about how do you publish your first book? What were some of the obstacles?
My first book was self-published. My first book was self-published. That was back home in my original country. I had to, because I felt that if you know something or claim to know something and you don't share it, it's not really going to help. So I made up my mind to save some money. I was still a student at the time, and I approached a local publishing house that was owned by the government and arranged that I could submit a manuscript to them. It was a very simple book of a few chapters, and they agreed that if I would be paying them installmentally, I could collect the books, sell them little by little, I would bring back the money until I paid them off, and what was left I could use as my own. So that's how I started, by investing in myself.
Exactly. So you are saying, for all those people who have been sitting down waiting for the big break, for the big publishing houses to call them, they need to invest in themselves and take action and responsibility for where they want to be.
You said it very well.
You said it very well.
That's exactly what to do. Sometimes nobody will help you except you start helping yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start somewhere and invest in yourself and take the risk and take the action to make it happen.
And from that humble beginning of taking the action, self-publishing, how did you catapult to doing 13 books and still counting?
It's really a journey, my sister. It's quite a journey. As you said, when we met in Ohio, in Cleveland, I never thought that I would come to this stage. At that time, I had perhaps written only 2, 3, or 4 books. But with persistence and perseverance and determination, and as Oprah Winfrey once said to me, with good luck, you will make it. So I have been persistent, determined, and persevering, and committed to what I believe in.
You know, you're probably going to drive to Connecticut to slap me on this one, but I need to respectfully disagree with you on one thing you just said.
Okay.
Or maybe before I disagree, I probably need to ask you for your definition of it. And then, depending on the definition, will be dependent on whether or not I disagree with you.
Okay.
What is your definition of luck?
I use that word because that's exactly the word Oprah used in her writing to me. But personally, I really believe that luck would only come if you do your work. You have to work hard at what you want to achieve. And if it happens, fine. If it doesn't happen the way you think, fine. But at least you should know exactly what you want to do and keep doing it.
Okay. Well, my definition for luck is look, utilize, commit, and knowledge.
Exactly.
So, If you don't do any of those four things, don't be talking about any, you know, we go there and search for the opportunity. And as you say, with faith, because we can choose to utilize faith or we can sit down as fearful as it is and never make an attempt. So it is all in our power to attract and manifest the things that we want. So,
exactly.
You know,
I also want to add that I'm a believer in destiny. And I define destiny as knowing exactly what you want to do and keep doing it. Mm-hmm. If you just keep procrastinating and waiting for manna to fall from heaven, it may not fall in these days.
You know, what are some of the differences? As an entrepreneur who, you know about the culture in Nigeria and you have been here in the U.S. for 30 years.
Yes.
What are some of the difference when it comes around to entrepreneurs in this country and Nigeria? What are some of the hindrances you think entrepreneurs in America are faced with?
Well, from what I have noticed, first I made up my mind that I would first empower myself. And if I empowered myself and have those qualities that are embedded in me that I don't have to run around looking for, then I will be able to move forward. And one way I decided that I would have to empower myself is to educate myself. And I must have a formal education and I must have informal education. And the informal education, for example, is like this radio talk that we're having. I'm learning from you and you are learning from me. That's informal. Mm-hmm. I could go to conferences like we did when we met in Ohio. Mm-hmm. But the formal education involved going to college, getting my BA, getting my MA, getting my doctorate, and then moving on from there. Mm-hmm. So I have used the aspect of empowerment of myself, educate myself very well, read what I have to read about publishing, go to meetings where the publishers and the writers are, and then be willing to learn. Every time I'm always learning something new. That is how I have had to empower myself. But as for the differences between America and Nigeria, obviously the cultures are different. Here there is an entrepreneurial spirit, and here there is the freedom, especially freedom to do what you want to do. If you are determined to work hard, they say that in America, if you work hard and keep working hard, there's every likelihood that you'll make it. Over there in Africa, I think that, if I'm not wrong, the problem I notice is that people have been inundated with this dependability spirit. Of course, that also has something to do with the colonial background that we had, having been a country that was governed by Britain. So people kind of expect that something will be handed to them. But here you have an individualistic spirit whereby you're encouraged to stand up on your foot, on your feet, and do it yourself. And that has, in fact, helped a lot of us who have come here.
Right. Yeah. One of the other thing, I am so in support of what you just said. Because here people kind of have an attitude of entitlement, you know. Everybody owe them something. The dog owe them something. The cat owe them. The government owe them. The neighbor. Everybody owe them something. And people need to get rid of that entitlement mentality. And just go out and let things manifest before. Before you continue, someone is asking to repeat my definition of luck. And it is look, utilize, commit, and knowledge. So those four things together will give me all the luck I want.
Yes.
So continue, Dr. Ito. Continue.
I was about to say that I agree with what you just said, because as part of trying to influence and educate my son, I usually tell him that nobody owes him anything.
Right.
You have to work for whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Do not ever think that daddy owes you anything. Yes, daddy may have brought you to this world, but you have to be responsible for yourself. You
That's
ought
right.
to be responsible for yourself. Nobody owes you anything. As Chinua Achebe said in one of his books, when a man says yes, his chi says yes. That's his God would say yes. You have to say yes to yourself, yes to whatever you want, and go after it. and you see how it works out.
Mm-hmm. You know, because we, each and every one of us, I know before the egg was fertilized in our mother's womb, God created and he fertilized that egg with a purpose in mind. And I think that we are so neglectful in embracing that purpose of why we were created. And that's why there are lots of people who are chasing their shadows. Because Everybody is paying attention to the Joneses instead of spending quiet time and searching inside to find out what it is that we were created for. And that stands into our way a lot.
Yes, I do agree with you. I want to remind our listeners that one of the very important things I have also learned is that when God created us, he gave us a wonderful gift of the brain. Many people do not value or understand the matter that we have a brain. And it is said that among the scholars that the average person uses one-third of his brains. If people would just have time, as you said, and spend quiet time to think, and depending on God's grace, they would be surprised how much God has put in us to be able to use to do justice to our existence here on earth.
Mm-hmm. You know, because the other thing, we we need to move ourselves out the way, like when Lady O was on and she was talking about that lady handing out and complaining. I have found out that when I move Daphne out of the equation and focus my undivided attention onto the person that I'm in conversation with, it makes it so much more comfortable for both of us.
Yes.
You know, I had an experience this past June. I was invited up to Rochester, New York, to a book launching of a friend that I met on LinkedIn. And she's from Rochester, and her co-author is from Israel. And Kobe was coming out as well, so I was privileged to be in distinguished company. And, you know, Kobe said to me the morning, they were at Starbucks doing a book signing, and he asked me the question, how do I see him fit into the things that I'm doing? And I was honest to him. I said, you know, I really can't answer this, and I want for you to allow me to follow up on this conversation. Because I came here with no ulterior motive other than to support you and Jen in your accomplishment. And I could have gone there with a lot of things in my mind, but I didn't. I just wanted to be there for them and to add value to what they were doing. And I think all of us need to, at times, remove ourselves from the equation and focus on how we can serve others.
I think what you just said also has to do with how you perceive your role here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
If you are somebody who believes that you are called to be a servant, you know, if you believe in servanthood,
mm-hmm.
if you believe that you are here to minister to the people, and minister
mm-hmm.
involves service,
mm-hmm.
ministering must have the element of service. You can
mm-hmm.
see it even in politics,
mm-hmm.
when the leaders do not have this element of service to the people,
mm-hmm.
then they become very overbearing, they
mm-hmm.
become despotic, they become dictatorial. They do not listen to anybody.
That's right.
But
that's
if
right.
you have a feeling, if you have a motive that you are here on earth as the Lord Jesus to save people, to minister to people, to help people, to make this world better than you found it, then your whole attitude, wherever you are, you don't even have to shout it, you don't have to say anything. Your whole attitude, your frame of mind will be that of service to the people. And that's what you did. And I know that if I am here to make this world a little better than I found it, I will be involved in service, and that's what I've been trying to do.
Wonderful. I have a caller, and I want to see if they want to say something or they're just listening. caller, your first three digits are 703. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please, and your question? I guess they do not have a question. All right, so we'll go back to Dr. Etook. Dr. Etook, Lady O says she has a new friend, and that new friend is you. So any friend of mine is a friend of Odessa, okay?
That's wonderful.
Okay. All right, so... You have the experience of both U.S. and Nigeria, and I know you make many trips per year to Nigeria to pay back and to serve your people. Why?
Yes, I do.
Why do you continue to do that, and why? Because you and I have talked about that before. And
yes,
you have seen it as a responsibility and something that you must do. Why
great,
is that so?
Great leaders, mm-hmm. and I don't know whether I'm a great leader or not yet, but great leaders from my reading, great leaders always have this mindset that I already alluded to, that
mm-hmm.
of service to their own people.
Mm-hmm.
Think of Mahatma Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
Think of Moses. Think
mm-hmm.
of any great leader. They always think of service to their own people.
Mm-hmm.
God brought me here from a very, very humble beginning. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth.
I thought you had a gold spoon in your mouth.
No, I wasn't. In fact, my father never owned or had any of the oil wells in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
He was a petty farmer, and my mm-hmm. mother was also a petty trader.
Mm-hmm.
But since God brought me here, and I was able to have the doctoral degree, and they teach, I felt that the best way of living in this life is to give back to the people who are less fortunate than myself. So every year, I get a collection of books, I get whatever I can, clothes, shoes, and so forth, because there are people who are there not able to have even a pair of shoes for a whole year. I know where I came from. I remember my roots.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back to the country to see how I can be of service to my people. That's
wonderful.
Why I do it.
Wonderful, 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 wonderful.
This year now, I'll be in Nigeria later in the year once
mm-hmm.
my two books are out.
Mhm, mhm, mhm. And so what can we look forward to? Okay, you're also a professor at one of the local universities, right?
I try to teach whenever I am given an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I taught the last quarter history of race relations in the West, and I also taught Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
This semester, I'm teaching research methods.
Mm-hmm. 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 So you are an all-rounder, and as you say, you education, both formal and informal, is important. I was so happy you said that, because it never ceases to amaze me that there are so many adults who do not even have a library card, where they can go and borrow a CD or a DVD or a book for free. People are not investing in their intellectual capital, and they must do that.
Please let me join you to emphasize to our listeners, if you are a young man between the ages of 15 and 25, those 10 years, I urge you to invest yourself in intellectual capital, as my sister has said. I urge you, in the name of God, to invest in yourself first, because of all the things you have in this world, if you are not investing in your mind, as they say, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. If you don't invest in yourself, you'll be shortchanging and shortcutting yourself. You have to have a library card. You have to make time to go to the bookstores. You have to use internet for good purposes. Mm-hmm. And you have to learn how to get information, for mm-hmm. information is power. Mm-hmm. If you don't have this information and power, you will be very destitute, even
That's
though
right.
you have all these other
That's
things
right.
in life. When
That's
the
right.
chips fall and you have to meet the disadvantages of life, if you don't have a reservoir of investment in yourself, you will find it difficult to bounce back. So my
That's
people
right.
who are listening, please, please, I urge you to invest in yourself.
Because, you know, we are never too old to learn. I remember a couple of years ago when I was in school and I made the dean's list. Man, I got that email from Ashford. I immediately sent an email blast out to my 3,000 email people about making the dean's list. And I never forget, a friend of mine sent me an email back. And she said, well, you ought to make the dean's list because now you are paying for your own education. So you are not wasting time, you know. And people, as you rightfully say, it's never too late, especially now with internet. People can always do so much more.
Yes.
And people tend to be settling for mediocrity, and that's why they're not moving ahead. It's not anybody's fault. It's not your mother. It's not the system. It's yours. So you need to get up and get into gear and get something done for yourself.
You know, you asked earlier, what's the difference between here and over there in Africa, in Nigeria? Mm-hmm. I want to put this into anybody from that continent who is listening to me. We must stop this nonsense of people thinking that once you finish college, that's the end of education. It
Mm-mm.
is not true.
Mm-mm.
In fact, many of those discoverers and many of the great inventors in the Western world did not have a PhD.
That's
many
right.
of them were self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them just kept practicing and practicing
That's
and
right.
experimenting on what they knew they could learn from life. And as they did these things, they were able to bring out the technology that we so desperately need today. They didn't have to go to some other country or to the moon to get those technologies. They just
mm-hmm.
studied and studied and studied. So I've come to find out that over here, a lot of people who have made it, like even the world's richest person, he doesn't have a PhD. He could have it now, but for most of his life, this man has put himself in the field that he believes he can work and study and study and study and work and study until he has become an asset to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So Africans should not think that as soon as you finish your formal education, that's the end to it. You must keep on studying and reading, and you should have a library in your home. You should
that's
have
right.
a bookshelf in your house. You
mm-hmm.
should give your child some shelf where you stock some books so
mm-hmm.
that they could develop the culture of reading by
That's
themselves.
Right.
Most
reading.
People don't even read a newspaper all
That's
their
right.
day. They will not touch a newspaper.
You know, reading is the gateway and door to everything. You know, I got to tell you, now, every conference that I attend before I register, if it is not stated there that they're giving continuing education credit, I call up. And I have often heard the person on the other end of the phone say, well, we've been doing this conference for so many years and nobody has ever asked. And I say, would you call the organizers and ask whether or not they would consider doing that? I'm not saying it is in all cases that they give the continuing education, but I think we need to get into the habit of asking.
Yes.
And make sure we get these things, because they become beneficial to you where you can use that later on. Okay, so Go ahead.
When we met in Cleveland, you wouldn't believe that all the things I heard and learned from George Fraser on the networking issue, I compiled them and kept them. And up to today, from time to time, even though I have not been linking with George Fraser, I do read most of the notes I took way back then.
That
is informal education that I acquired. So in the area of networking, I don't have to go back to school to study networking. I already got it in my home. But I have to read them from time to time to refresh myself. The same thing with Mark Victor Hansen. All the conferences I had gone with under him and listened. I have all his notes. I have his papers. And so, from time to time, I pull them out from my shelf and read them. If people are willing to educate themselves and be humble to admit that they don't know it all, they will really improve on themselves.
Dr. Ituk, how important do you feel that a mentor or a coach is to the empowerment and the personal development of oneself?
Very, very important. As an author, I find it that if I hadn't developed relationships and connections with a lot of people, I would be in deep trouble today. Just yesterday, for example, I wrote to a professor at the school, one of the schools I had attended, Baylor University in Waco, Texas, asking for just a blob. I have a professor friend at Ashland University in Ohio that I have been friends with since my college days there. I have all over the place people that I have tried to keep relationship. In the last segment, I heard you use the word relationship more than five times. You kept emphasizing it. It is not what you want to do with that person or what you expect from that person. It is building relationship. Years ago, I wrote a book on friendship. It's amazing that people do not practice true relationship. True relationship. Because nobody's going to give you anything if he doesn't trust you, if he doesn't know you, even doesn't know that you are a person of quality. You have to build this relationship so that when you ask a person for help, that person is naturally going to be willing to support you and help you. But if it is this mechanistic worldview that, it is what you can get from people that matters, then you are setting up yourself for problems. So I have a real appreciation for coaches, for mentors, for people who are there to give you the push and say, go ahead. What you're doing is great. Go ahead. You know, look at you and I wouldn't be on the air today if you and I had not had this relationship going over 5 years. We have been in touch with one another from time to time. We try to encourage one another. And we only met once in Ohio. We have since then been in link with one another.
That's right.
Why today you found it easy to say, hey, doctor, to come on to the show. And
that's
when
right.
you said that, I quickly sent that message to so many people on Facebook. Because I want them to get in touch with somebody that I know has something to offer. So it is important that you have a coach, that you have a mentor. Very, very important.
You know, people, I remember people used to use the phrase, what's in it for me? And I tell people they need to throw that through the window. Because it's no longer what's in it for you. It's what can you bring to the relationship. You are going around that table. You got to go with something. And don't concentrate on what you're going to get. Because once you start adding value in that relationship, value is going to come back to you. You know?
Remember President Kennedy said it best years ago when he was president. Ask not what the country can do for you, but what you can do for the country.
Your country. That's right. And it's the same thing now. You know, just yesterday I connected back with a friend I had when I was 18 years old. And we were talking on the phone last night until after 1 o'clock.
Wow.
And this guy, he was asking me about all these people and going back, and I said, oh my heavens. And I look back and I said to him, do you realize I have known you almost all my life? He said, yeah, you better realize that. And it was in those conversations I realized, my God, relationships are so important. Because I had not spoken with this man maybe 18 years.
Wow.
And yeah, we connected yesterday, and we talked and talked and talked and talked. And you know, when you build relationship, when relationship has a strong foundation, it doesn't matter the storms or hurricane or turmoil that hit them. Once the base is cemented, you go back and it's as strong as ever. And
yes,
it's the same thing we need to do for these relationships that we are creating in networking.
Yes.
Nobody's saying you got to be on the phone every day. You got to be on the email every day. But
yes,
invest in the relationship in the beginning so that it can sustain itself even when you're not there, so that when you go around and come back, it was as if you never left.
Yes.
I want to remind people the number to call in to the show is 646-915-8166. I want to welcome guest number 4883 to the show. If you have a remark or comment that you want me to ask the guest, please type it in. And if you feel like calling, please call in. I want to encourage you to also stop by my show page. Leave me a little message. Mark it favorite. Become a friend. I'm also on Facebook and I'm on Twitter. Just Google me. You'll see all the things I'm doing there. And I ask and solicit your support in all the areas of what I am doing. We also have a Sunday evening segment that deals with overcoming adversity. And that's at 7 p.m. every Sunday. We go from 7 to 8:30. So if you know anybody that has an impacting story, just send me a message here via the radio site. And I will be sure to connect with them and see whether or not their story is a match. So right now, I am back with my honored guest, Dr. Emma Ituk, out of the Washington, D.C. area. So,
you are fantastic.
Oh, thank you. You're such a good friend.
It's true. Honestly,
oh,
it's true. You have the clearest voice and articulation. You're fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, God has blessed me with some amazing friends, and I'm just letting him know that I'm so ready this year. I've emptied myself out, and I'm ready for him to refill me and to take me to greater heights. So I'm telling you, world, look out, because I'm coming. I am coming. So, you know, God's been good, and I'm looking for the day when you and I will be on the stage together and just rocking the world, because I know we're going to be great together.
Yes.
So, now, what, as an entrepreneur, and I know you have had your share of obstacles and you are still standing firm.
By His grace.
Yes, and I know spirituality and faith has played a great role in what you do and how you do things, even in raising your family, because I know years back you were honored by Congress, and your beautiful wife, for the way you grow your children. Let's talk about that for others to hear. Because that's important. What was that like for you? And let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, usually I don't like talking about myself, but I did write a book, Fatherhood is Not for Babies.
Mm-hmm.
Being the kind of father that you have to be. And that was the basis for which the Congress invited my family, and we were surprisingly awarded Parents of the Year for the state of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And many people have really complimented us for that. That is all the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
But I should add for my listeners, for our listeners, I should add that I do have strong convictions and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is in the area of raising children and being a father. I do believe that being a parent is an awesome responsibility. I repeat, being a parent is an awesome responsibility. Most people I have met treat parenting as a casual affair. But for me, it is a very, very serious matter. Here you are in this world, and you are placed in a position to procreate, to bring forth another human being. And why would you dare to treat it like a trivial matter?
Mm-hmm.
It is an awesome responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very important task. Again, Oprah Winfrey says that it is perhaps the most difficult thing to do and to be, to raise another human being in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that a father should be responsible to his wife, to his children, and to himself.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that it is a parent's responsibility to nurture and care and raise up the child.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that it is the responsibility of the state. Whatever the state may help you to get in that area, it is just a little help. But you are responsible for the child you have brought to this world.
Mm-hmm.
If men were to have this kind of mentality,
mm-hmm.
we would not have deadbeat parents.
Yeah, because you know something? I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit took us there, because I am black, so I'm going to talk to the black brothers. There are too many brothers who are planting gardens and are not around to see those flowers bloom. And I just want to reach out to them. I mean, the show is not on parenting, but the Holy Spirit don't have me say anything that there's not somebody who need to hear that. I want to tell them, when they decide to plant a garden, be around to water it and to take out the wide weeds. Don't put the seeds in and leave before that seedling come up. Be there. Be there to prune it and weed it and water it and fertilize it. As Dr. Took so rightfully said, its parenting is not a casual affair. It is a privilege and an opportunity that we need to embrace and take it seriously.
I have a son and I have a daughter. And my daughter is, by the grace of God, finishing at Syracuse University this quarter. And I always tell people that it is the most difficult thing I have gone through to raise a daughter and make sure, by God's grace, that she's not pregnant before she completes high school, and that she goes to college, and that she graduates, and then move out of the house to find her own destiny. The same thing, and perhaps especially so, about a young male in the family. Listen to me, men out there. I do know that it is difficult to be and to have a successful marriage. I'm not speaking to you as someone who has not felt hurt or disappointed or wounded. I'm talking to you from a very serious point of view, which is that this child you brought to this world, this son or sons you brought to this world, they are the most wonderful, the best thing that God ever gave to you. And you have no reason not to stand by them until they are 18 or after, to guide them, to help them, to nurture them, to move them to the point where they are able to be on their feet. It says in the Word, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You are working for yourself. so that when the time comes when you are weak and old and tired and unable to move on, this child will be there for you because you had watered it, as my sister had said. You had watered this garden. And by God's help, you will not be neglected or ignored. You mm-hmm. have watered this garden. So please, hear it from one who has actually gone through it. I am there for my son and my daughter no matter what. Mm-hmm. And they have that to expect from you because you brought them to this world. The
That's
state
right.
did not bring this child to this mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm. Nobody brought this child to this world but you. And if they demand anything from you, you have no reason not to give it to them because they were brought to this world by you. That's
you know,
my statement.
Yes, I just like that because it's something, and I'm sitting here listening to what you say, and I think it's more age 80 than 18 because on Sunday, my 28-year-old son called me from Jamaica to let me know he was having a stomach ache. And so I was joking because I called my friend in Brooklyn. And she said, who you were on the phone with? And I said, oh, Javonte just called me to let me know he had a stomach ache. And immediately both of us going, I told him to drink some ginger and mint tea. And then she said, I wonder if it is his appendix. So right there, the mother mode and the parent mode just check in. But our children are always our children, and they will come to us every opportunity they want. And they need to know that we are there for them. You know, so it's very important, very, very, very important. I can't believe that the time has progressed this far already. When we're having fun and having good dialogue, it goes by quickly.
Can
so
you imagine?
What, oh, not really. You probably didn't realize the time was going to
Me
go so
too,
quickly.
Right? I'm always amazed. And that's another topic for another show. Time management in life and in success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, time is one thing we must really prize because it flies so fast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that I'm 60-something already?
Oh, you are so old. You are an old man.
Watch your mouth. I'm not too old for you.
You're an old man. Wow, old man. Now, what can we look forward to from you in the next 2 or 3 years, Dr. Etok?
Say that again.
What can we look forward of you within the next 2 or 3 years? Other than anything else new?
Well, by the grace of God, I'll keep on doing what I'm doing because I enjoy it very much. Mm-hmm. I love to talk to younger people. I love to encourage and motivate them. I love to empower them. And I would love to see my continent change for
now
the better.
Now I know why you enjoy being my friend. I didn't realize it's just because you like younger people. Now I know why.
I love young people. That's why I teach. When I'm in class, I let the young people have it. I want them to know that life can be sweet if you are determined to work hard.
Yes,
you know,
and committed.
Very sweet.
And to commit it. All right.
Yes.
I want for you to please give out your contact information, and then I would like for you to give your summarizing closing statement. What you would like to leave the listeners with today. If it's
I want first for them to know that with God on their side, and they should never, never be afraid to include God in anything they do or say. With God on their side, they can make it. When everything fails you in this world, just remember that there is a Creator and that you are part of His creation and that He loves you very, very much. Nobody loves you more than God has told us in His Word. Mm-hmm. So with Him, counting on Him, you will make it in this world. I have relied on Him for more than 30 years, and I've come to find that He is the best friend that you can ever have. Mm-hmm. So always remember that all things are possible to him who believes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to leave my contact address as 540-429-2392. That's my cell phone. You can always reach me there. 540-429-2392. And you can reach me by E-M-I-E as in Edward, M as in Michael, I, and D as in David, A as in Alpha, 1, number 1, at yahoo.com. That's Amida1 at yahoo.com. I live in the Washington, D.C. area.
And where can people find your books? You want to give that site?
They're
out?
All on barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, and iUniverse.com. Look for those books. And if you don't find them, send me an email at amida1 at yahoo.com.
You have another 5 minutes, so you can, if you want to name the books, you can go ahead. I only do that for my special friends, so you know you are privileged.
Thank you very much. And I hope you are reading all my books. There are now 13, and as you said, I claim what you said. I will have 16 books in not too long a time. In fact, in 2 years, by the grace of God, I'll have 16 books. My dream is to write 20 books before I'm 70 years old. The books are coming next month. Listen, Africans, a revolution is coming. Why it must come and how we should deal with it. That is coming February 18th, next month. I have a very popular book that I should share with you. Recipe for Success, the 21 Indispensable Things That Can Help You Succeed in Life.
I don't have that, so it means that you're supposed to mail all that book for me. I'm your favorite friend. I said, I don't have that one, so I'm your friend. I'm supposed to be getting books, autographed books, you know. Anyway, go ahead.
And then I have another book that I know is very important on leadership. It's called The Indispensable Visionary. The Indispensable Visionary. I should send that in the mail to you tomorrow if you don't have it. Send me an email with your mailing address and I will put it in the mail for you.
Okay.
Anyway, I want you to know that it's very cold here, and so I have to watch the weather. But if the weather improves, I will go out and put it in the mail for you tomorrow.
I understand that old men don't do well with winter, so I
you
understand
that I'm old. I'm not yet as old as Moses.
You said you were an old man, so I was just affirming it.
I said that I'm 60s. I didn't say I'm old.
Oh, okay. So then I take that back then.
Okay. I'll be old when I'm as old as Moses, who was 80 years old.
And even then, you're still not old because God.
Yeah, he lived another 40 years.
That's right. So
I have a book for those people who want to know how to write. It's called Splendid Ecstasy. Splendid Ecstasy. The Trials and Thrills and Joys of Authorship. That I can also put in the mail to send to you if you need it.
Of course I do. How am I going to be able to promote the books if I don't read them? You know, but it's I always have fun talking to you because you are such good sport.
Sport. I remember you very, very well, like yesterday.
You
it's
remember
like,
our
it's friend. Like that day in Ohio is always fresh in my mind.
Yes. You remember our friend Rita?
Yes.
Rita
she heard me many, many times last year.
Yeah, she lives close to you, and I got to come to D.C. so we can go out and have dinner, the three of us. The three of us have such great laughter together.
Yes.
I was looking on that picture that I took with you and her. Closing ceremony at one of the Power Networking Conference. She's now a full-time entrepreneur.
Yes.
She's doing her
business. I think she has retired. I'm not too sure.
Yes, she has. She has.
Yeah, I think she has retired.
She's just an amazing person.
Yes.
Well, I look forward to us getting into conversation again.
I hope you had as much fun as I
did. Oh, I did.
Had.
I did, and I hope that I'll come to Connecticut.
Oh, you've been wanting to come to Connecticut.
I have friends in Connecticut.
Years.
Last year, I came to Providence, Rhode Island.
That's way up.
Yes. I will come over there one of these days and eat some Jamaican food.
All right. And I want to congratulate you on the graduation of your daughter coming up from Syracuse.
We'll be there.
Yes, that's wonderful, wonderful. I know this is an exciting time for your family. I want to continue you. I want to encourage you to continue touching lives, not only here in the U.S., but also in Nigeria. And
I'm committed to that.
I'm going boldly to God and ask Him to provide an opportunity where I can probably share the stage with you in Nigeria as well. I'm just going out and just asking God for a whole
Please,
lot.
Pray for that. Pray for that. I would like you to come when I'm going to Nigeria this year.
Yes, so we're going to pray that. And we have not because we ask not. And
yes.
I have asked the Lord for all of that. So I want to thank you, Dr. Etuk, for investing in my vision and calling and purpose, because it's just an amazing opportunity. I want to remind people to continue investing in themselves. Education never stops. You heard Dr. Etuk so eloquently spoke about formal and informal education.
Yes.
We are not going to choose for you which one you embrace now, but you need to know what your needs are and just go out there and create them. Remember, you were born for a destiny. Do not allow anyone to derail you. And I want to tell you, do not settle for mediocrity, because you have the ability to create excellence. Follow your destiny and stay blessed. This is Dynamic Daphne saying, so long.
Thank you, and God bless.
God bless you.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Declare it.
destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with the slave. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with the slave. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah.